Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast. Of course, I am your host, Andrea Maxim, and today's show is going to discuss how to effectively use Instagram to grow your business. And I think that this was a very important show that had to be brought on simply because I'm using my Instagram for one purpose, and that purpose is to promote and inspire and help you guys kind of see what it is that I'm doing, kind of get first dibs at things. And I wanted to be very strategic when I use social media so that my message doesn't get really muddied. And this is something that I'm seeing a lot of other practitioners do, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter. And mostly I see it on Instagram, depending on how you want to use those resources. If you're trying to do it from a business perspective, you're probably not doing it right if you're using it to not only talk to your patients, but also show family pictures and show what you're eating. You know, you really need to start using social media if you want it to drive business in a very strategic way. And so I've been dabbling with Instagram since January, and I actually didn't want to even go into it until I started watching, or I attended a webinar with Jasmine Starr. Jasmine Starr has the course Instagram 180, or Insta 180, I should say. And she really talked about the value of Instagram. Now, coming from a place where we don't have a lot of images innately in our business, Instagram can be a little bit difficult to navigate with regards to how you can start to get people to follow you in the way that you want them to. So what you'll find out on the interview as we talk with Pratima, my guest, you'll find out that there's actually a particular demographic that's using Instagram. So that will also help you determine which social media platform is best for you. But the most important thing that I'd really like you to analyze when we're done the call is if you are using Instagram and you're trying to attract patients, really see if somebody were to, who didn't even know you, come out of the woodwork and start looking at your Instagram profile, would they really understand what your message is? And again, this is coming from that idea of being very consistent, being very clear, and having people follow you for the right reasons. Because the whole reason why we're using social media for the most part from a business perspective is to get people either onto our list or, most importantly, in our office. And I find when people start to just throw up random pictures, random posts, you know, that have no real merit towards what your end game is, then it's usually kind of a waste of time, a waste of effort and energy. So I wanted to get Pratima onto the show because she has generated over six figures in her business, and her business is making quotes on paper. Like, it's really old school stuff. She hand does all of the material and then kind of screen presses it onto paper and then gives that away. So her business, while it is definitely very picture based, I really wanted to pick her brain and ask her for her exact system, how she grew her business from zero to six figures in only 6 months. And I think that would really benefit all of us that are listening, because it hopefully it'll tell you, number one, how much effort you have to put into Instagram. Number two, how concrete you need to stick to your message. And this goes for all social media platforms. Now, before we jump into the interview, I just want to say that this podcast is sponsored by my 7-day detox program. This is a completely done-for-you program that helps you initiate either an in-office or an online program for your patients or prospective clients, and maybe even use it as a draw to get more patients into your office. As the program evolves, you will also get lifetime access to that evolution. So if you're curious or want to purchase that 7-day detox program, please go to the website maximizedbusiness.ca/7-day-detox-program, and you'll get immediate access to all of the information as soon as you purchase. But without further ado, let's jump into the interview with Pratima. Hello, Pratima. Thank you so much for coming on the Profitable Practice podcast today. I'm really loving sort of your aspect on how to grow your business using social media. And this is kind of a unique way to grow your business. But first and foremost, I would love for you to just introduce yourself, sort of what your background was and how you got into the business that you're in.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrea. Wonderful, excited to be here today. So my background actually is I started in corporate tech career, and then I moved into entrepreneurship a little while ago in 2015, really. And that's how I moved from corporate to business. But when I got started, obviously, I did not know anything about business, and it was a learning curve from I went from passion to business in in a few months. So there were many things that I had to learn in order to get there. But basically, I am the founder of Craft Street Design, and it's an online one-stop shop for beautifully designed inspirational gifts and keepsakes. So going from tech career to gift space, there's a lot that you have to learn in order to get new clients. And we used social media quite a bit to get our customers in the first few months.
Mm-hmm. And social media, of course, is where everyone is starting to leverage to grow their business. And how much of an impact did you find social media on the growth of your business?
We reached six figures in 6 months, and I would say about 60% of our business came from social media. We have our Instagram following to almost 6,000 followers now. And we also use LinkedIn, which was very specific to corporate orders. And so, but both of them combined was 60% of our business at that time.
And that's a huge influx of revenue in a 6 month period of time. And you started at like zero and got to where you are in 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely. We started at zero. It started at actually $7. That's where I started. Right. That was our first order. And then from then on, yeah.
And that's amazing. And I want to ask, so predominantly you're using Instagram and Facebook, or what other platforms are you using?
We are using Instagram and Facebook, but we don't have much of a following on Facebook because we focused our efforts on Instagram and mm-hmm. LinkedIn. We use LinkedIn for corporate orders where right. we can get bulk orders, but we use Instagram for the consumer orders who come to the website. And that's who our age group is. It's a little bit skewed, a little bit younger, which is why we focus more on Instagram than on Facebook.
And that's an important thing to point out. So for Instagram, do you find that it's a younger demographic that are going on to Instagram versus Facebook, and that's why you're putting your efforts there?
Currently, I see that it is slightly skewed younger. So if you are targeting anywhere between 18 and 24 year olds, that is definitely on Instagram. That is, okay. They're on Facebook, but and they're interacting with mostly their family, but they like to really engage on Instagram. So, yeah, I mean, it is skewed at least about 6 or 7 years younger than what you would expect.
Now, let's take a quick step back as well. Your company is Craft Street Design. So what exactly is that? Just so the listeners understand what the platform of your business is.
We create quotes, basically. We create them and we borrow quotes from other people who have said so or written so. And we make prints, we make jewelry. That's the end product. But the goal of it all is to inspire people and to make gifts that are very inspirational.
And I find with naturopathic doctors that I'm following on social media, whether it be Instagram or Facebook, they always put out, I think at least once a week, and I do it myself, some sort of an inspirational quote. And this is why I wanted to have you on the show for this week, is because we want to talk about how to leverage social media to help us, you know, get more followers and then hopefully convert those followers into patients, which we can do with other things. But just using quotes, you've been able to grow your business from $7 to six figures in 6 months. And I want to ask your strategy around doing that with regards to how often are you posting? You know, what are you putting into your posts to get that sort of leverage? Could you share, you know, going in as much detail as you can, sort of how you developed your strategy to do that with Instagram?
Absolutely, Andrea. So when I started, I didn't know much about, how often to post. I did do some research and started there. But I think that's very specific to every business. And going to using quotes as a strategy to kind of build your email list and to drive more traffic to your site so you can capture the leads and, you know, nurture them through your, hopefully, your content marketing that you already have. You kind of have to post at least 3 to 5 times a day. And that's what we did. In the beginning, especially when you don't have much of a following and you're trying to garner more followers and to engage with them, you kind of need to post at least 3 to 5 times a day. That's for everybody. And specifically using quotes for this process, I would suggest using quotes that are more in line with your business. For example, talking about being a naturopathic doctor, you don't want to post something about, not to say that people are not interested, but something to do with tech or something to do with extreme modernism doesn't really quite fit well when somebody is looking for natural products or something that feels more closer to what they would want to do. So you kind of have to pick your quotes first thing. Hopefully it's in line with your target audience.
Correct.
And that's how
yeah.
But definitely posting 3 to 5 times is going to help, but after that you have to engage with them, whether that is through contests, giveaways. We did a lot of giveaways in the beginning, and we used influencers on Instagram who could promote our product, promote posts, really. It wasn't a specific product. It was mostly about talking about the promotion and they generating content. So we got a lot of shout outs, as they're called in the Instagram world. Some of them are free and some of them are paid. That depends on how much you want to spend on this, how much of not only the money, but how much traffic are you targeting? So based on that, you kind of have to come up with a number of people or a number of shout outs, because also one thing about influencer marketing is it needs to be very consistent. Doing it one day and then or with one person and then doing one shout out is not going to get you much at all. Even if they have 100,000 followers, it really doesn't matter. So consistency and frequency are very important, just like any other ad platform. So keep that in mind. If you don't have budget for that, there are people who do it for free, as long as you give them a free product, or it could be an informational product. Whatever you do to get your lead capture, you might be able to use that in your own practice.
Now, I'm going to stop you right there, because I have never heard of this before in my life. I've just started using Instagram. I don't know the language of Instagram yet, other than how to use hashtags. So can you go into a little bit more depth about influencers and shout outs for people that are also just getting started like I am?
Okay. I am using the Instagram language at this point, but specifically the way you get to this is there are platforms like Whalar, WHALAR.com. And there are a bunch of others that you can look up as well, but they all provide a service where there are influencers on this. Instagram influencers are registered on this site and they vet these people for, the type of content that they are already posting and the number of followers and their engagement levels and all of that. So that way it's easier for you to pick which influencers you want to go with instead of researching entirely on Instagram, because that's going to, I mean, you can do it that way. That's how I started. But if you want to do a lot more of it quickly, it's better to go on some of these platforms to get names and prizes and stuff like that. But that's where you start, basically make a list of influencers. Then you can, there's something called direct message on Instagram. I'm sure you know of this, Andrea, right?
I don't. Assume that I don't, because I probably don't. I'm not very good at Instagram.
Okay. So there is, I think it's shown with a person as an icon, but you can direct message anybody on Instagram, anybody who you're following or who you want to follow.
Okay.
If you don't follow them, then they may not see your direct message. So you have to either follow or ask, or they have to be your follower. And then you can ask them if they would like to, if they're interested in what your business is and what you would like to do, and if they're willing to work with you so that they can post on their feed about you.
Interesting.
In some way. Like, for example, there are a lot of fashion bloggers, and on the first site, you may not find anything in common with somebody who's posting pictures about clothes or stylish stuff. And you may find that, you know, okay, we are health practitioners. We have nothing to do with clothes, right?
Right.
But you can go about looking at common threads. For example, you can find clothes that are more, I'm not exactly using the right terms, but using more eco-friendly products,
sure,
in some way, whether that is paper products or something more socially conscious products. So that goes very well with people who might be interested in naturopathic type of stuff. So, and then there are people who are promoting essential oils and whole bunch of other stuff, which is kind of in line with the same type of target audience that the health practitioners might be looking for. So you kind of have to find the common thread to make sure their audience is going to be your audience as well.
Very interesting. And that is a technique that I never would have thought of using. So I'm so thrilled that you brought that to the show today. And I wanted to also ask you, you said, you know, you've done giveaways and challenges. And what have you found to be the most successful? Do you find a giveaway to be the most successful in getting people engaged? Do you find, you know, a 5-day challenge? Because challenges now are incredibly popular in the online space. And have you found those to be more engaging? Like, what have you tested and tried to be like, yeah, this was a home run, or this did not work so well?
Yeah, giveaways worked really well when I tried to, I mean, the prize needs to be really big.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot consist just of your products. It has to be something that the audience is already familiar with. In our case, we sell prints, and we sell like some of the notebooks and diaries. So we picked notebooks and diaries that people already knew about it. So when we added those into the giveaway, that's when one is the value of the entire giveaway. Then the second is the familiarity of the products that are in the giveaway. If you're giving away products, that
right.
is, and that goes the same if you're doing services as well, But yeah, I mean, as long as that is in line, giveaways work really well. But at the same time, I have noticed that from a giveaway, so every promotion you do, please use a separate email list or some form of tagging so you know where they came from. For my product and for my business, I have seen that the giveaways, people are just more, more price conscious.
Yes.
Customer comes through a giveaway. So I'm not sure if you want that kind of customer. For me, it has worked out because of the margins I have. And the products are not like the same, so they can buy other products, so it works out, but you kind of have to think through that. I've seen it's a little bit lower per customer order value is a little bit lower.
Okay.
But beyond that, there are for me personally, quizzes are the best thing that have worked like really, really well, more than
Interesting.
challenges and giveaways, because people participate more, and for some reason they buy products after the quiz. So
So describe that. Like, could you set me up on what a quiz would entail using Instagram?
you have to post the quiz elsewhere. It's not on Instagram. You can use
Okay.
other type of visuals on Instagram telling people about the quiz, and people will take it. So there are other sites that do the quizzes. There are free quiz hosting places. If you don't want to put it on your own site, you can do that. Again, that has to be in line with your company.
Sure.
So I use something called finding out your quote personality. And basically, we give them a bunch of quotes, and people can say like or dislike. And based on that, it's based on the Carl Jung 12 personality types. And we basically tell them who they are from it. And people love that.
Yeah. And again, to reiterate, your whole business is making quotes, but what's amazing about your products is that they're all, as far as mine was when you sent me a sample, are they all hand done?
Yes, they are. I mean, they are hand done in the sense the design is, but they are actually digitally printed on paper.
But my tag that you sent to me, I think was written by hand and it was gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. That is the personalization part that we add to the packaging, and that is hand done.
Yeah, it's such an art that I think people are forgetting about, the quality of craftsmanship that comes with hand doing something like hand lettering. And I just wanted, this is a complete aside from what we're talking about, but they're gorgeous. And I think if anybody was thinking of creating like a really nice thank you card or sending, the occasional patient a birthday card in the mail, that Craft Street design, you guys make some really, really beautiful, high quality things. And I loved receiving it in my mailbox.
Oh, wonderful thing. Thanks, Andrea.
Yeah, no problem. So going back to the quizzes, sorry, complete aside. Going back to the quiz, so they will engage with the quiz, and then in order to do that, do they have to give you an email to engage with the quiz, or what's the benefit of running the quiz that you found was so successful?
So they take the quiz for without actually giving an email address, but the results of the quiz about their personality, that's going to be after they give the email address, because we need the email address
Yes.
to actually send them the results. So
Very cool. Now, the other thing that I wanted to ask about is posting. So you said you're posting 3 to 5 times per day. Now, are you posting obviously brand new images throughout the day, or could you repeat certain images, or what's your posting style like?
I use brand new images so far, but we are at the point where we do recycle some images, but
Sure.
that's because we can Photoshop our quote onto the image itself. So I have like thousands of photos that, because when we started doing every day we were taking pictures, and that's just the way we started. But
Yes.
now I use a lot of Photoshop to use old images so that it's a new quote on a similar visual, but at the same time people are not going to remember something from 3 years ago or 2 years ago.
Right.
So
Yep. And are you automating the posts? Can you do that on Instagram, or do you have to set a timer and remember to post when you want to post?
I use something called schedulones.com. You can go to their site, but that's the only place I think that I have found posts for you. So they use devices to post. So otherwise, it's illegal on Instagram. They will not allow you to do that. But they use actual devices to post. They automated it through some tech stuff behind. But the point is they use devices. So it is not against Instagram policies, but and it allows you to relax and not worry about, okay, there's a reminder, I've got to post this. And that's crazy, trying to do that during the day.
Now, do you mean co-schedule?
No, co-schedule is for content, but co-schedule also does a reminder. But
schedule once is actually
a system. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. It's Schedulegram.
Schedulegram. Okay.
Yeah. It is app.schedugr.am, to be exact.
Okay, so I'll definitely make sure.
Sorry about that.
That's okay, because I was just going to say, I'm researching Schedule Once for my online scheduling, so I don't think that that's the right one. So Schedulegram, and I'll make sure that I put that into the show notes. Yeah, so I think that's phenomenal. Now, the last thing I wanted to ask about Instagram, unless there's other things that you would like to discuss with regards to quotes and how to use social media to your advantage to grow your list and get emails and clients off the computer and into your office. With regards to hashtagging, now hashtagging I think is purely like an Instagram thing. I'm starting to see it come up in Facebook a little bit, but what is the deal with hashtags and how many are you supposed to use and how do you make sure you use the right ones with every post that you post?
So you have to start somewhere. The limit on the number of hashtags you can use per post is 30 right now. So anything over that, you cannot schedule it nor can you post it like that. So 30 mm-hmm. is like the maximum per post. But you don't have to use all 30. It depends on what you're posting. In terms of knowing whether a hashtag works or not, you're going to have to try some sort of keywords for your business. I tried inspirational quotes. I started with motivational quotes. I did, things like graduation gifts, a lot of them. And you can search for popularity of those hashtags by actually putting them into the Instagram search field.
Yes, I've seen that. Yep.
Yeah, based on that, you will know which one is the most popular because that'll be the first one to pop up if you put a couple of letters in. But there is no exact way of knowing which one will work for you and which one won't. That is something you'll have to figure out, trial mm-hmm. and error. It's business specific. Sometimes it's even product specific. So yeah.
Okay. And do you find that like, is 10 too little? Is 30 too much?
I used all 30 for most of my tags now. But when I started, about 15 was enough because that's all I could think of. Definitely do not post things that are not relevant. I mean, just because a hashtag is popular, do not use them because that's just a bad etiquette on Instagram. And people are just going to be turned off by if you do that. So don't do that. But if you have 30 keywords, use all of them. If you can use them, yes, you should use all 30.
And I think that's also a valuable point that you made about Instagram with regards to muddying up your message. So it's so easy to want to post everything that you're doing on Instagram, like this is what I'm eating today and this is me going outside with my family. And it's okay to do that every once in a while. I would encourage people to include a very informative, emotional-based story if the picture isn't in line with your message. But the way I'm strategically using Instagram is I'm just showing, because I'm targeting naturopathic doctors to show them what I'm doing, is that I'm only showing work-based things or motivational-based things for entrepreneurship and healthpreneurship, like, you know, showing images of the Profitable Practice podcast and then having a link there. Whereas I'm finding a lot of naturopaths are doing it more as either a self-serving thing, and that's fine. But if you're going to use Instagram for business, you have to make sure that your images are absolutely congruent with the target a demographic that you're trying to get, the health condition that you're trying to target. You have to be a little bit more strategic, I think, with Instagram than what I've personally been seeing people do. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely, Andrea. That's a great observation. That's very important to do, as you said, because first thing, age group, you already know if you're on Instagram, that's the crowd you're trying to attract. But at the same time, you need to be especially congruent to what you're doing, because you might get followers even without being congruent. But the problem with that is they're never going to convert. Mm-hmm. They're never actually going to want to spend on your business. So.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that you have found on your journey over the past 6 months that were real game changers for you, or other strategies that you've used that you think our listeners would benefit from?
There are a couple of other things in terms of doing things that don't scale. I think people are, a lot of people have given me advice not to do things that you cannot automate, that you cannot at some point give it away to somebody, delegate to somebody. But I would say if you are starting out and if you don't have an established practice, to do anything that doesn't scale as well. Like, for example, I used a LinkedIn in mail. It's a feature on LinkedIn. You have to have the pro membership. But if you do, you can email, I think, 30 people a day or a month. Anyway, you can email them. It's called in mail, and you can ask them. They're basically leads for you. So you can search by their profession and you can ask to meet, you can ask to give free information, many, many ways you can do that. But I'm not sure that particular technique works for your practice specifically, but I'm just suggesting that do things that don't scale, especially in the beginning until you're established.
But using LinkedIn, and with LinkedIn, again, I'm not very good at it, but as far as I know, LinkedIn is kind of, this is what somebody told me, it's like the Tinder for business people. So you want to schmooze and you want to rub elbows with people in business that you can connect with in business. And as you said, you're using LinkedIn for your corporate sales. So for naturopaths that are wanting to get into the corporate world or do corporate health-based things, I think that's a very excellent suggestion on how to use LinkedIn and try to, you know, rub elbows with the right people. The only thing that I will again strongly suggest is if you do have any sort of automatic email that goes out to everybody, I've received so many that are just, you know, I don't know this person from Adam, and they're trying to pitch me on their product and they want me to like buy things, and I'm just sort of like, my goodness, like, yeah. You haven't even, you know, schmoozed me. You haven't even asked me out on a date. You're just, you know, jumping into bed with me right away. So I would definitely use LinkedIn to cultivate relationship, not just to engage and connect with people. So if you do send out any sort of email, it should be more supportive. It should be more, you know, I'd really love to take you out to coffee and, you know, talk about your business and see if I can help you in any way. Just don't make it like, don't jump right to bed with these people, because it's such a turnoff for me, and I can imagine it's a turnoff for everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely, Andrea. That is a golden rule no matter which social media you're using.
Yes.
First thing, but especially on LinkedIn, it takes a little bit longer for people to warm up, just because I think the mindset on LinkedIn is a little bit different. So it does take a few more contacts in order to actually make a sale. And I do actually meet people for lunch and kind of show them samples and talk about other things as well. So yeah, I mean, I would say do not focus on the sale in an automated email like that. And do not send automated emails. Please customize it for each and every person in general, because you have to look at their profile. You have to know what they're doing before you send anything to anybody. In fact, just research them at least a little bit. It just takes like 10 minutes to do it. So,
And it's you can really tell immediately just when you open a message of some sort if it's been mass produced or if it's customized to you. And those are my favorite emails that I get, where the rest of the text is gray and a different font. And then Hi Andrea is like black and a larger font. And I'm like, okay, guys, like, give me a break. Don't try to, you know, tuck that under the rug, because I see right through it. And it does immediately turn you off. And that's a lead that could have been very, very foundational to the growth of your business. Same goes for patients. You can't expect patients or future patients to just jump on board with you when they're not ready. So it's also continuing to give little nudges of support before really like closing that deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Anything else that in your journey you found to be really strategic or mistakes that you would never repeat that you can share with us?
There are so many of them, Andrea. Which one do you want?
No doubt.
Mistakes. But I mean, I think entrepreneurship is full of mistakes because you don't know your path that clearly. Yes, you can follow some things from other people, but there will always be mistakes. In my case, I think in the beginning, I was actually distributing flyers at the end of the street. I know, who would think, right? In this day and age, who would want to do that? But we did that in the beginning, and it actually worked for us for the first time. And that ended up, we thought we could scale it and we could do it in many other cities and all of that good stuff. And we lost quite a bit of money doing it because we had people, we didn't have a lot of cross checks, and we didn't know if people were actually doing what they're saying they're doing.
Right.
And a lot of other issues with that process. But yeah, I mean, invest a little and figure it out, but do not just assume that everything is going to work. It's not going to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the important part for every entrepreneur. So,
but the fact is you tried something, you know, and I find that the fear of failure can limit us from even trying something. And as you said, it was successful for you. Scaling it wasn't, but in your local area, it was successful for you. So you just figured out what worked and what didn't. And I think that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, please do not take that as do not try, because I think without trying, you're not going to find which one works, and you're not going to find something that is specific to you that worked really, really well for you. So yeah, I mean, absolutely, you have to try, but expect failure. It's not a bad thing. You're just going to learn what not to do.
Right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and especially being as transparent about your systems and giving people that are just starting to tap into the Instagram world, like myself, an idea of how to use it. And most importantly, you know, using quotes and how beneficial that was for your business. How could people get in touch with you if they wanted to look at some of your designs and potentially order some online?
You can always absolutely go to the website. It's craftstreetdesign.com. And if you want to directly email me about anything specific to the business, you can email me, of course, at pratima at craftstreetdesign.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Andrea. Thank you for having me.
So now that we have heard, you know, the amount of work that's involved with at least Instagram, the different strategies that you can use to get your promotions out. I mean, she talked about quizzes and challenges and things like that, giveaways. I really want you now, as soon as you're done listening to this call, if you're using Instagram or thought about it, to really go back to your account and make sure that you are using Instagram the way you are supposed to. Make sure that the images that are there are congruent with the message you're trying to send out. And maybe based on what she said, being that the demographic is for kind of a younger population, you might want to give up on Instagram altogether, depending on who it is that you're trying to target. So please take that moment to kind of take a step back and debrief how you're going to be structuring your Instagram account moving forward. And I encourage anybody who's using Twitter or Facebook to do the exact same thing. For me personally, I use my business Facebook account for anything business, and very rarely will I post pictures of my daughter or my family unless it's something that kind of goes along with my message. And I have my private Facebook page for all of my personal things with regards to sharing personal information, pictures of my family, and things like that. So I do my best to keep things very, very segregated. The other most important reason why you have have to do this is it also takes a lot of the stress away of having to think of brand new information or what am I going to post today, because you have this beautiful, clear vision of how you want to run each and every one of your social media accounts. So I strongly encourage everyone to, you know, spend a half an hour to an hour and really go back and look at how you're using things. Are you doing it properly? Are you doing it the way that's really going to benefit you? And if not, and you still want to use those platforms, maybe invest in some online courses or some extra coaching or something like that to really make sure that you get the most bang for your buck when it comes to putting your energy into particular places. The other thing that you could absolutely do is outsource your posting to places like onlinejobs.ph or Upwork.com, where you can pay people for as little as $3 US an hour to do all of this stuff that you frankly shouldn't be doing unless you really want to, but it is very time consuming. And I personally could not imagine myself posting 5 or 6 times on Instagram every single day. Like, I just do not have the time or the brain power for that. So you can always look at outsourcing from people that know how to do the work and it doesn't cost you a lot of money out of pocket. Of course, if there's anything that I can do to help support you or get you on the right track or get you into that laser-focused vision for your business, hit me up on my 30-minute strategy call that is absolutely free. There is no sales, there is no pitching. It's just you and me chatting about your business and how I can help you grow that. And that's on my website, maximizebusiness.ca. Other than that, if you have questions, concerns, comments, topics you want me to cover, I would love to hear from you. And if you loved these interviews or any of the other ones I've done, go to iTunes and leave a review for me. That is everything for me this week. I hope you guys are killing it where you are. Take action. Love ya. Peace. I'm out. You guys are killer. Thank you as always for listening to the Profitable Practice Podcast. Leave me a comment, and if you haven't already, I would love a review in iTunes. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and leave me a quick review. For those ready to maximize your practice, contact me at www.maximizedbusiness.ca.